Start with motion.
That's right, people. It's a Coca-Cola kind of day at the Pung News Podcast. This is featured editor John Gentile, and I'm here with M. Moore. M. Moore, what's happening? Actually, we'll jump right into it. So M came on the show and M said, "Hey, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm fine. How are you?" And then M hesitated, and she's like, "Fine, fine." I'm like, "M, what's wrong?" And she said to me that she just had a birthday, so happy birthday, Em. I would have wished
Oh,
Em a happy birthday,
thank you.
but she did not put her birthday on Facebook to let.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
I
Oh,
think
well, then I missed
so.
it. I don't think so. I don't think your birthday is on Facebook, which I don't think is a bad idea. I mean, you know, Facebook is weird and creepy. So, you know, putting my birthday's there, and it really should not be. Let's see here.
I'm
Oh, no,
pretty
actually,
sure it
you're right. It is here. Well, happy birthday, Em.
is. Thank you.
Happy belated birthday. And what did you do for your birthday?
It was a very chill day. It was very nice. Hung out with my parents. We got some Vietnamese food, had a bubble tea, and a family friend named Zucchini made one of the best cakes ever. It had little ducks on it, and it was a lot of icing, and it was delicious.
So, well, I'm glad you had a nice
Very
birthday.
nice.
And I'm like, "Em, what's wrong? You're being hesitant." And she's like, "I'm just thinking about life." So, "Em, what do you think about life that's causing you such pause? What are you thinking about?" And Em's like, "I feel like an adult now, you know." So, "Em, what does that make you feel like you're an adult? And what's causing you pause in your life? Why were you like so like almost wistfully melancholy when I asked you how are you doing? What's going on? What's the deal?"
I think it's just like, I don't know. There are certain numbers that feel very, like more grown up, I guess, than others. So it was just sort of, like usually when like my birthday rolls around, it's kind of like a reflective sort of time and, thinking about like, oh, these are like some cool things that I've done and these are some cool things that I want to do. And, here are some things that I haven't done yet and how do I like go about doing them or whatever. So, yeah, it was, I turned 27 and it was like, oh my God, like that's nuts. That's like really cool. And, it's just nuts that it's like I guess closer to 30, which is fucking crazy. And like you start thinking about different things and I don't know about you, but like my Instagram feed is all like fucking anti-aging stuff and memes. And it's like, why the hell are you giving me anti-aging things and targeting, all of this? And just kind of with the past few months and everything, there's been a lot of like, oh, well, here's kind of beauty standards we were held to as like kids, and here's beauty standards that we're held to as adults, and here's how they like coalesce. And I've been thinking a lot about that and a lot about kind of the whole idealization of youth, and then if I'm lucky enough to age how I want to age, and just sort of things like that. So I've decided I'm gonna go kind of full bog witch route and be like, I'm just gonna age, and that's gonna be cool, and hopefully I get the chance to, and just deep thoughts, just that kind of thing.
Em,
And
you're
yeah.
ridiculous and wrong, and here's why. You have no idea, Em, how young 27 is. 20, it seems like you're feeling old or whatever. That's insane, Em. 27 is
Thanks.
insanely young, especially in 2026. You know, maybe not like 18, like 18, 15. You know, 27 is not that young, but
I've
in
bare 10 children. I
2026,
ate a berry once.
in 2026, 27 is insanely young. And let me tell you, 26 to 29 might be the most fun time in your life because you're old enough to, you know, be able to do your own thing, but you're young enough to, you know, be able to cause mischief and screw around and make mistakes. I wish I knew at 22, 23, 24. Those ages don't 18, those ages do not matter. You can F up so bad from that time period and it doesn't matter whatsoever. It really doesn't. And 27 is not 23, 24, but it's almost that M. So 27 is the time you should be going out, having a ball, going to music festivals, hanging out with your friends, getting into mischief, taking risks. 27 is so insanely young, M. You should be hooping it up and living it up. And I think that's what you should, I think this year, M, you should make that your focus to live it up, hoop it up, hang out with friends, get into shenanigans, not too serious shenanigans, but shenanigans, and just kind of, swing the bat and go for it and have a blast. That is what 26 to 29 is for. It really is. So you, that's what you should be doing, Em. That's what you should be doing.
I like that. I will try to whoop it up more. And
I just
definitely, like, I want to get some friend time in.
I whooped it up to a degree at that age, and I'm still whooping it up now. I wish I whooped it up more. People like Sam probably whooped it up pretty good at that age. I know Kira, who do you know, Kira? Kira definitely did. And like, just kind of go out there, do wacky fun shit. That's what you should be doing. So if you're thinking 27 is old, and that is insane. That is insane.
Well,
Literally
it's
insane.
funny because, like, I don't think it's old for other people, you know? It's just when I view it for myself, it's weird. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, sort of,
I
yeah, sort of.
don't
It's weird to say that you're 27. I remember thinking 27 was kind of old when I was 27, but M, 27 is a baby. It is a baby, a baby. So don't. I mean, don't be one of these people. And I'm thankful that I wasn't one of these people. I could have done other things differently. But there's some people like, oh, I'm 27, I'm 29, I'm old, I'm old. You spend so much time being old, you forget that you're young, and then you really are old, and you're like, oh, I've been old my entire life. So don't be one of those people. Go out there, have fun, go to concerts, go to music festivals, do weird stuff that's not too weird.
Right.
Do crazy stuff that's
Within
not too
reason.
crazy. With like, don't shoot heroin. But like,
Not
you know.
planning on it.
If someone wants to break into a miniature golf course at 1 a.m. and play miniature golf at 1 a.m., do it, Em. Do it. I did that 3 times. It's great fun. So you should
Does
do
sound
that.
fun.
When, and I wish I understood this better when I was younger, and I really didn't. Before making a decision, you should be aware of what can they do to you. And one of my biggest concert regrets, and then we'll get to the show. One of my biggest
Okay.
concert regrets is when I was 18. Gwar. Well, Dave Brocky of Gwar had a band called the DBX. It was basically Gwar. It was Dave Brocky, the guitar player Balzac, Mike Dirks is his real name, and the drummer Brad Roberts. And it was like them doing punk music, basically, like funny punk songs. That was DBX, and I was 18. And they were playing a bar near my house, about a 10-minute drive from my house, which there's really not that many music venues near my house at the time. And so I was 18, I was under 21, so you can't get in. And so I called the bar. I was like, and I didn't even understand, like, it's literally a bar, it's not even a music venue, it's a bar, And so I called, like, when you call a music venue, you talk to the box office. So I called, and I thought I was talking to
Oh.
a box office. I was literally talking to the person at the bar. I'm like, do you have to be 21 to get in? And they're like, yes. And they think I'm just calling about some kind of bar,
Sure.
I wish, Em, I had done one of two things or both things. A, I wish I had just gone, and at the time I didn't quite understand the difference between punk and big rock and roll is, and I would have never. I wish I had just gone and saw Dave Brocky outside this tiny bar and say, "Dave, can I come in? I'm under 21." And one out of two, maybe two out of three chance, Brocky would have just given me like an amp and say, "Walk this inside," and I would have been in and be able to see the show,
Oh,
Alternatively,
sure.
I wish that if that didn't happen, I would just try to sneak in. And it's not illegal to try to sneak into a bar. It's illegal for the bar to serve you, but it's not. I wish I knew the worst they could do was tell me to leave. The worst, like you're thinking, oh, well, maybe I could go to jail or no. The worst they could do is throw you out of the bar, And so at the time, I wish that I understood the concept of what can they do to you? And the answer is usually not that much. So keep that in mind, Em, in your fun 27 to 29 years. Think, what can they do to me? And think about that? Another example, which I would
Yes.
not advise, when I was in law school, they had this Jesse Michaels art gallery thing. They had all these massive Jesse Michaels paintings, massive, like, I don't know, 5 feet by 4 feet, 6 feet by 5 feet, massive paintings. And they were like $800, a lot of them. $800 for art is actually like nothing? But at the time, $800 to me, I was in law school, was that like, that was like, I mean, I could conceive of that money, but it's like, I don't have $800 to throw around? And I wish I
Yes.
just gotten a credit card, charged it to the credit card, and then just not pay back the credit card. They can't do anything to you, Em. They can't do anything to you, you know? So I don't know, man. I mean, I wouldn't advise credit card fraud, but I wish I'd come up with some kind of way to get those paintings, you know, legally, you know? And so, I mean, I could have just gotten the credit card and paid it back a little bit of time and then just forgotten it. But you know what I mean? Like, anyways, just remember, Em, you are young, and B, remember, what can they do to me? And the answer is not that much, you know. So anyways,
Thank you.
let's get on with the show here. Oh, well, listen, speaking of a band whooping it up, man, Lotion, multinational corporation, have announced, I think this is their fourth album. It's out on Toxic State Records again. And actually, they released more details today. And actually, I'm going to pull them up real quick. I love Lotion. Lotion is the third best synth punk band of all time, and the first, of course, being the Screamers. I can't remember who the second is. I always have a second best one, but maybe it is Lotion. I don't know. Anyways, so the new album is called Machine Hallucinations. And it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 tracks. The last track includes Lulu from, I think she's in the band Dollhouse. And she's also on the song Cybernetic Super Lover, which is one of my all-time favorite, like, synth punk songs ever. There's also a song here called track 10, Smooth Operator. And what might that be a cover of? But it might not be a cover.
It might be a cover of the Sade song.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know that is. I'm actually really hoping it is, because that sounds very interesting to me. Lotion covering Sade. And I know that Sade has had a real resurgence over the past 10 years, and people are like, oh, Sade. And I'm like, you mean that boring adult contemporary stuff that used to play on B101? They're like, no, Sade. She's so, I don't know, smooth and refined and deep. I'm like, Sade? You know, and that, actually, Sade's the band, actually. Anyways, I'm very excited for Lotion's cover of Sade. That's what it is. Also, on track one, Igor Cavalera of the Cavalera Brothers, who also makes noise music on his own. He's got a couple different noise projects. I can't remember. One of them was Dwed Hellion of Integrity. Anyways, there's a track called Boots on the Ground. And I am extremely excited for this record, Em. Extremely excited. This is one of my most anticipated records, along with the Dwarves, along with DFL of this year. Very excited.
Ooh, yeah. It is going to be very good.
Do you like Lotion, Em?
Yes, when we talked about them, oh, it would have been like a couple years ago now. I really liked it and it was a lot of fun again being able to like discover new music, right? Like on the podcast and on Punk News and like, stuff like that. So, I am very excited for this. I enjoy the song and I have very high hopes for the full album. Does the
So,
album have a
Mish,
name yet?
yes, cybernetic, no, machine hallucinations.
There we are. Okay. No, it's gonna be good. You can't go wrong with lotion.
Lotion's awesome. I've tried to book them a couple of times, and they always blow me off them. But that's all right. That's all right.
They're too busy
Ears.
staying moisturized.
That's true.
Yes.
Ears kind of a weird, one of the weirder stories that we cover. We're going to cover this year. So Tsunami Bomb earlier this month had four shows planned. They were canceled the day of the show when some people had already flown out for the show, and I believe it was in Portland, Oregon. And they said, "Oh, we got a health issue," and no one was exactly sure what was going on. Well, the band
Ooh.
just last, I guess it was Saturday or Saturday, I think they posted that they put a post explaining exactly what happened. And what happened was is about so they had four shows lined up. And about half the band was already in Portland, and the rest of the band was making their way to Portland. While half the band was in Portland, and of course, the band, well, I know a lot of the band is in the Bay Area. Maybe some of the band lives down in SoCal, and Courtney lives in New York, or New Jersey, something like that. Oubliette.
Oh,
So
yes.
some people like come from pretty far away for the shows. Half the band was in Portland, and they got a text from the singer, Kate, and she said, "I can't continue with Tsunami." This is paraphrasing. "I can't continue with Tsunami Bomb, and I'm not going to do the shows today and this week." And that's all they knew. And it looks like they texted her back and she didn't respond. And so they don't even know what's going on with their own singer. And they said, "Well, we don't know if the band's going to continue. because it looks like Kate's no longer in the band. We don't want to cheapen the band, but we kind of want to keep the band going. And also, we had some pretty cool Halloween type shows planned. So we don't know what we're going to do. And that's what's going on with Tsunami Bomb. And so
Ooh.
that so they're being very transparent. So the question obviously is, should Tsunami Bomb continue? And also, Em, what do you think of the situation?
Well, like it is really good that they have said what has gone on. So like there's no kind of like speculation about anything. It's like this is more or less what's going on. Very surprising. I think that there is going, I think we're going to see Tsunami Bomb continue, but I think we're going to see Tsunami Bomb continue maybe in like 6 months to a year and with a slightly different lineup. So that's what I would say. I don't think this is the end for the band. I think obviously, you know, like they said, it's an end for a lot of stuff they had upcoming, and that really sucks. But I do think the band's gonna have a future. But it's gonna look different. Yeah.
And what do you do when you're in a band and you've got a show in like 6 hours and the singer texts you and says, I'm not in the band anymore, and you're totally caught off guard by it. Like you just like rehearsed like 2 weeks ago or something, you know? Like what do you do, you know?
It's such a tough call because it's like, again, do you try to get someone else? Do you have somebody else in the band step in for their parts? Like, do you kind of make it like a sing-along with the audience where it's, hey, whoever knows like the lyrics pop up and you can sing with the band? You know, like it's such a tough call. Or do you cancel it and just be like, well, we can't go forward in a way that we want to go forward in, so we're just not going to do it. It's tough. What do you think about the whole situation?
Well, first of all, it's a bummer for the band. I feel bad for the band. That's a lot of money, a lot of plane tickets down the drain, a lot of planning down the drain. I think it was like one gig, then you just say, whatever, we'll just do an effort gig. You know what I mean? Like, so either the crowd, if you're in the crowd, you want to sing a song, get up. Dom will sing a song, Courtney will sing a song. But
Yeah.
that's tough for 4 shows in a row. That's a tough 4 days, you know. So
It
I think
is.
canceling in this situation was the right call. If they couldn't get someone else to jump in and sing, if they could have got someone to jump in and sing, they could, but it's pretty hard to get a last minute singer 6 hours before the show, you know.
Yeah.
I did see a very unusual dwarf show once where Black Dahlia had like strep throat or something, so he really couldn't sing. So Nick Oliveri sang some songs. The sing a guy, whatever, a guy Heller from the Moist Boys, which is a Ween spinoff band, did some songs. Jimmy from Murphy's Law did a couple of songs, and the crowd did some songs. And frankly, the show itself wasn't great because it was like not any real singer, you know. So it was kind of a shit show of a show. But as a fan that I've seen multiple dwarf shows, it was kind of cool to see this once in a lifetime, one off kind of thing. If it was my first time seeing the band, I would be bummed out. But at that time, it was like my 10th time seeing the band. So it was cool to see something weird and different, you know? So if it's one show, you can, you know, slot, you know, you can muddle your way through it. But 4 shows in a row, that's a rough 4 days, you know? I feel bad for the band that happened to them. I guess, and I admire, and actually, Em, you referred to this, is if you recall, was it Gel? No, it wasn't Gel. Some band broke up like 2 years ago on the verge of a big release or something like that, or a big tour. And I was saying, you, I'm mad that they're being so vague about their breakup. And you were like, well, bands should have their privacy, which in a way you're right, but in a way I disagree, you know? And so it was
Sure.
annoying that the band wasn't saying, well, why they break? They were like, things have just become too challenging. Well, what has become too challenging? Here, I like that they're like, our singer quit the band and we have no idea why. And did you read the statement, Em?
I did read the statement, yes.
To me, it seems, and this is pure speculation, the reason that Kate isn't in the band anymore has nothing to do with the band. I'm guessing it's something in her regular life or something like that. Would you agree?
Yeah, it like for everything to happen so close to when the show's supposed to like start and everything, I 100% believe it was like a some sort of emergency or something.
So yeah. So anyways, I forget where I was going with that. That's my guess is what the cause was.
Transparency.
Well, yeah, so I appreciate that Tsunami Bomb's like, yo, here's what happens, and I think it was quite clear across the board, everyone accepted that and said, well, listen, we understand, and so I know the band is kind of concerned about, I guess, quote quote, watering down their legacy, but of course Kate is not the original singer, and people forget that Agent M, Emily Whitehurst, isn't even the original singer. There was actually at least one or two singers before Emily, including Courtney, who I don't think Courtney was ever the main singer, but Courtney was a singer, and there was another full-time singer before Emily. And so I think the band, if they want to, which I kind of, the way I understand it is they want to keep going, but they don't want to risk the integrity of the band. I think
Yes.
they've got two routes laid out before them, either of which is sufficient. A, they just keep going, they get a new singer, or maybe they have Courtney sing or Dom sing, or I know some people were saying, well, how about Agent M? I don't. My guess is that's not going to happen. And I don't even know if I'd want that to happen. In a way, from a timing standpoint, it's the perfect time for that to happen now, isn't it? But from a sheer logistics and, interband relationship thing, I would guess that's not going to happen. So I think they should just get another singer. Maybe, I think what they should, here's what I think they should do.
Yes.
I think they should get another singer, but not a singer that no one knows. They should get a singer that was in another band that maybe isn't as active anymore, that is interested in jumping in a band with a name, and it could be someone younger, or it could be someone older or the same age. But I think, like, doing the AC/DC kind of thing, or even the Van Hagar thing, and I'm not a fan of Sammy Hagar, where you get an established singer and have them in the established band, I think that's the way to go. Second, if they want to end the band, they should still do the Halloween shows that they had planned and say, these are going to be our final shows. That way they get to end on their terms and not on like this weird, our singer disappeared kind of thing. Better they have, like, if they say these are our final shows, no one's going to be mad at them that they're having a show without Kate. And if it is their quote final show, maybe they could even have Agent M come up and do some songs or a set because it's the final shows. I think those are the two paths for them to take, frankly.
Yeah, that would be a good way if they wanted to bring her to a close, like to kind of like bookend it.
So what, and place your bet right now. What is going to happen? Not what should, not what might, but what is going to happen?
Ooh, okay. I think that they are going to play any festival shows that they're on for this year, and they're not going to play any other live shows. I think they're going to come back next year with a reworked lineup, and they're going to release music.
I agree. I think you called it right. I agree. And we'll see. Anyway, wishing Dom and Courtney and the rest of the band all the best. Em, tell us about AFI and N Noon Underground? No, Noonie? No one. Oh, No One Underground.
No one
No One Underground.
underground.
I thought it was Noonie
Yeah.
Underground. I'm like, what's this thing?
It took a minute, like when I saw the title, to be like, okay, what's being said here? Yeah, so they released a video for this. It's off of their album Silver Bleeds the Black Sun, which was released in 2025 last year. And the video for this is I liked it. I thought it was really fun and I thought it fit the vibe of the song really well. There's like this there are like fire eaters and like people kind of like juggling fire and most of it's black and white, and then there's these like pops of color, and obviously we get to see the amazing hair and mustache stylings going on with everything. I thought the it was just like really, really cool. I haven't listened to this full album yet. I've just heard kind of like whatever they've released videos for and stuff, but I really want to listen to the full thing because I really like this song. Like, I am surprised how much I like this song. Like, if they it seems, but anyways, yeah, I really liked it. John, what did you make of the song and video and just the general vibe of the hair and mustache
Is this,
combo?
well, actually, I'm glad you bring it up. I've got a couple things to say about that. Is this what AFI usually sounds like?
I'm not sure. I've just listened to like bits and pieces of AFI, but if it is, then hell yeah. Like, I need to go back and like listen to everything because I really liked this.
Oh, I thought you were a big AFI fan.
No, I've just heard like bits and pieces of them. They're a band that I've never like I've liked what I've heard, but I've just never like listened. I've never done a deep dive, I guess is the way to put it. So that's something that I do want to do, and that's something that just with everything that we've talked about and with the new album is making me want to do that more. So hopefully, well, not hopefully, in the next little bit, I'll make time and I'll do it.
I think this is not what AFI I think this is not what AFI sounds like. To me, this kind of sounds like The Cure, and I thought it was kind of good, honestly. I didn't have to love it, but I thought it was kind of good and very Cure-ish. I was dogging on what's his name again? The AFI guy. What's his name? Not Hunter. What's his
Davey
name?
Havoc.
Davey Havoc. I was dogging on him for the Samuel Clemens core, and that, for whatever reason, I was thinking about it, like last week, and I'm like, you know what, like. Punk rock is supposed to be weird and freaky, so why am I dogging on this guy for doing something different? And by something different, I mean comic co copying a 140-year-old author style, hairstyle. So I like that he's I now like the Samuel Clemens core. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it, but I think it's weird and unusual, and is what punk is all about, that he's dressing like Mark Twain for some reason. Do you think he looks like, do you think he thinks he looks like Mark Twain? What do you think he's go what do you think he's going for? Like, does he want to look like Mark
Ooh.
Twain? That's the first question. Like, does he look in the mirror like, yes, I look exactly like Mark Twain?
I don't think he's going for Mark Twain. I could be wrong, but I think he's like I'm doing the kind of like secluded rock guy who lives on a farm kind of vibe. That's what I get from it, but who is also like a rock god kind of thing, where it's like you have both sides, you know?
Do you think
Like
he just showed up?
70s.
It is very sad. Actually, you're right. He totally could be in like Molly Hatchet or something with this. You're totally right. He looks like he's in Molly Hatchet now that I think about it. Do you think he just like showed up at like practice one day or rehearsal one day, and the guys were like, "Oh my! Like, who is that? Like, oh, is that you, Davey?" Or do you think like it was a slow transition? Because to us on the outside, it was like the Billy Joel transition when Billy Joel went from young Billy Joel to old Billy Joel in a year. Like, he used to be this guy with like short dark hair, and then there was this bald guy with a mustache and a beard, and you're like, who's that? Do you how quickly do you think the transition was inside the band? Like, were the band members shocked? And
Ooh,
do you think
yes.
Davey Havoc had to sit down and say, yes, and my pronouns now are Samuel slash Clemens? Like, do you think that's what happened, or what do you think happened?
I say, well, I think it happened while they were recording the album, and he just kind of kept it going and started like taking care of his mustache and everything. So I think it was gradual to the band. But I think it's also that thing where, you know, when someone's growing facial hair, you see it a little bit every day and it's like, oh, cool. It's definitely like filling in. And then one day you just kind of look at them and it's all hair. And it's like, where did that come from? It's like I have seen it build up, but I didn't realize how much there was.
Now,
I
M and
think,
Punk. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
yes, I think that's what happened. Yes, what were you gonna say in punk?
In punk rock, we're against body shaming. Am I body shaming Davey Havoc? Is it wrong for me to be critical of his appearance?
I think you're just kind of saying like, well, I wouldn't do this kind of thing, but like good for him. Like I think you're poking fun at it in like a positive way. Like you're not body shaming him per se because you're not
I'm
like,
hair
oh,
shaming him.
yeah, well
Although I will say, I used to think it looked bad, but it's so freaky, I actually now support it, because I support freakiness and deviation in the punk scene, which is more homogenous than it's ever been, I'd say.
Kind of anything pushing past the norm. Because, like, again, this is, we're talking about it. And, like, it's very distinctive. And it's also like, here's somebody, like, expressing themselves and doing it in a fun way that we haven't seen in a long time. Maybe this comes back.
Maybe it will. Maybe the Mark Twain look will come back. People be wearing like bolo ties and white suits and drinking mint juleps. Do you think Davey Havok wants people to pay attention to his new style? Like, is one of the main purposes of this new style, hey, pay attention to me? For example, all the pop stars, or almost all the pop stars, every album rotation, they debut a new look, and they want that look to be taken notice of. You know what I mean? Like, anytime, I'll just do two examples. Anytime Beyonce puts out a new album, she has a new look. Her hair is different. Maybe her eye makeup is different, something like that. Or another example might be Justin Timberlake. Anytime he does a new album cycle, he's got different clothes. The best example would be Jonah Hill. Anytime Jonah Hill does a new movie, he's got a radically different new look. You know, does Davey Havok want us to look upon and comment on his new style, or is this strictly for him?
It really feels like it's strictly for him, and then it's just something that w works with the vibe of the album. Do you know what I mean? Like, I
I
don't think
strongly.
he,
Go ahead.
Like, I think it's definitely kind of like this is the era, but I don't think that it was an intentional thing. I think it was just this is what feels good, and this is what I'm gonna do now.
I do think it was an intentional thing, and I do think he wants people to pay attention to it. I think for a while, he used to kind of, actually, for until now, he used to dress as kind of, sort of a young Glenn Danzig, or kind of, sort of goth, you know? And
Yeah.
I think he realized that, like, the only person that can pull off old goth is Robert Smith. Any other old goth just looks ridiculous. So I think he realized that he was going to hit that wall, so he'll be proactive before he hits the wall and will decide to radically change his look so he doesn't look like old aging goth and instead looks like Samuel Clemens. I think it is on purpose, and I think he does want people to take notice of it.
If so, then mission achieved, mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished, but indeed. Sadly, we have to bring it down for a hot minute. Cassie Jalili of the Venomous Pinks has passed away. She had been battling. I thought her cancer diagnosis was recent, but apparently she had had cancer.
was.
Okay, so the diagnosis was recent, but she had cancer for about 10 years that she didn't know. And actually, I'm going to read the quote. Very sad, and we should just read it because it is so sad. Cassandra Nicole Jalili, our beloved musical sister, passed away today at 5:07 p.m., holding her twin sister's hand, sitting alongside her dog daughter, Chevy, and surrounded by family. To say this world is not as bright without her presence is an understatement. The love and support from the punk rock community is a testament not only to her as a person, but to her life's legacy. We are beyond grateful for her and heartbroken, and ask for privacy at this time as we take time to grieve and honor our beloved Cassie. So very sad. I actually just saw the Venomous Pinks like 3 weeks ago when they were opening for the Subhumans. It was very cool set. I enjoyed the set. And actually, I did see the Venomous Pinks, I think, at Punk Rock Bowling with Cassie behind the drums. Just a really sad story and a total bummer. You know, I don't know. Amy, have any words to add to that?
Yeah, it's absolutely awful. Like Venomous Pinks on like their social media for the past like little bit, like they've been posting like updates from her treatment, and they've been like doing like little kind of fundraisers and everything to help with like medical costs and everything. So when I like got on and I saw that like she had passed away, I was very like it was very like shocking, and it again it's just it's very 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 sad. She was misdiagnosed with like some other stuff before they found out that it was cervical cancer. And again, like just kind of with the stories that the band had shared and she had shared, like it was a really, really valiant fight, and everyone was really obviously like pulling for her and really hoping that like she'd kick this into remission and everything. So really, really, really sad. news and absolutely heartbreaking. So, like, just deepest condolences, and if you can get screened, get screened. If you feel like something's wrong, advocate for yourself, and hopefully we don't see like this happen more often than not. But yeah, she had a great impact on the Arizona scene, and with Venomous Pinks and with everything that they did together. So, a huge loss, and very, very sad.
Yeah, R.I.P. and best wishes to the band and Cassie's family. Very sad. So yeah, man. I mean, I don't have any words to wrap that up. It's sad. Jeff Rosenstock has announced. No good way to transition from that. So I just got to jump
No.
in. Jeff Rosenstock has announced two. It was one, but the show sold out in 5 days. But two shows celebrating 10 years of his album Worry. Worry, and he's doing what the band, rather, the Jeff Rosenstock band, are doing all of Worry and then another 2 hours of music, so almost a Bruce Springsteen style 3 hour set. And the second show will probably sell out too. Rosenstock's been doing these things where, like, he'll play a show and then if it sells out, he'll play another show. And I so, like, they'll do as many shows at a venue until it stops selling out. And so, they did like seven for one, I think, which was pretty cool. So it's the 10th anniversary of Worry, and so the Jeff Rosenstock band is more popular than they've ever been, which I think is great. Rose, of course, the listeners probably know, maybe not at this point. Rosenstock comes from a very DIY punk background. He was in Arrogant Sons of Bitches, then of course the Oldcore Favorites band bombed the music industry before coming Jeff Rosenstock solo, and that kind of caught in with the, what's interesting, it caught in with people about 10 years younger than Jeff. So people like say 22 to like 30, like love Jeff Rosenstock, the band. And some of them don't even know about the music industry, which is like, I remember I was selling records one time and this guy said, "You have any Jeff Rosenstock?" I'm like, "No, but I got Bond the music industry." And he looked at, like, he just thought I was saying, like, "No, but I've got Van Halen or something." Like, he didn't even know it was like the same thing. So anyways, I think, Jeff's a real nice guy. I'm very happy to see Jeff and the whole band, Dan Andriano, Mike Quiganor, Kevin Higuchi, I think. Oh, and John DeDomenici, who was also in Bond music industry, and maybe even Arrogant Sons of Bitches too. I'm very happy to see all those guys like doing well and really. I mean, sometimes when a band gets big, especially me, I'm like, oh, everyone loves so and so, but they're actually a dick. Or I'm like, why is this band big? This band is so boring. I'm happy to see the Jeff Rosenstock band get their kudos and play lots of shows for lots of people. I think that's extremely cool. But here's my question is, if you look at the comment section, it was almost all negative. When did everyone start hating Rosenstock? I thought Rosenstock was universally beloved at Punk News. Like, I thought he was a Punk News golden boy. What happened? What happened?
I think people are just they're doing that thing where it's, oh, I'm so punk, I don't know who Jeff Rosenstock is, or I'm gonna pretend like that I don't care about him, or I don't like him, or whatever. I really think it's just kind of like a punker than thou sort of thing, just because he's getting more attention.
You think our commenters are punker than that? For most of the angry commenters, even most of, I don't mean this dismissively or negatively, but I feel, I mean, I don't feel that our commenters are for the most part very punk. I feel, if anything,
No,
our
I don't
commenters
either.
are very, org core punk, which is not uber punk by any means. You know what I mean? Like a lot of our readers like love sports. I don't think you can be uber punk and love sports, mainstream, NFL and that kind of stuff. So I don't know if it's them being uber punk so much as them just being, some of them just being like dicks and like, it is that old thing where, the hype train where everyone like, well, like some people love something and get some buzz, then everybody loves it, then people kind of turn on it. I guess it's that.
Yeah.
But I was just shocked to see the Punk News commenters kind of diss on Jeff. Like, the Punk News commenters love Jeff and bomb the music industry. Like, they love that. So it's weird to see that turn come about now. I guess the last question is, Em, is why did that turn come about now as opposed to say 5 or 10 years ago? I mean, Rosenstock has been big as Rosenstock for the past at least 10 years. Well, actually, like 12, since We Kool, the first Rosenstock solo record, which kind of blew up on 5-1 Dummy. And of course, I actually saw Rosenstock before that, solo twice. And I've got the handmade CDR version of We Kool M, which came out about a year
Ooh.
before the actual record, FYI. It's got unreleased tracks on it, M. I got it for $5 from Jeff at Golden
Hey.
Tee House in Philadelphia, you know. And actually, well, I had Jeff do a shout out for the Punk News mixtape, and Chris Farron was there. I asked him to do a little shout out. He got like really weird and scared and refused to do it. So I don't know what that was about. So anyways,
Oh.
why the turn now? And is it just that he's so famous now that now is the time for people to turn on him?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe it's just kind of like, oh, he's too mainstream now. But I wouldn't call Jeff Rosenstock mainstream.
Dude,
You
I mean,
know?
honestly,
I think people are
speaking of,
just being dicks.
I think you're speaking of Uber Punk. Jeff is actually very Uber Punk. He won't
He
do merch cut.
is.
He runs his own thing, basically. I mean, I don't think he's got a manager, and if he does, you know. But I mean, like, Bomb Music Industry was as DIY as it gets. The Jeff Rosenstock Band is pretty DIY, and they do all these cool concerts where, oh, on this we're going to play for 3 hours, or on this one we're going to do this, or that one we're going to do that, you know. I think he did an all Weezer concert once. And so the point being is, like, Jeff is like super punk, man. Like, not punk in the Discharge way, but punk in the, I don't know, true first wave meaning of it, at least. So Jeff's cool as hell. The band's cool as hell. They're all nice guys. And I'm glad they're having pretty big success, at least in the punk world. So that's very cool. Very cool. Here's a band that's had success for years, and I'm not sure why they're doing what they're doing now, and Judas Priest. The greatest heavy
Yes.
metal band of all time, perhaps tied with Gwar, perhaps tied with. And who's better, Black Sabbath or Judas Priest?
Black Sabbath.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know why I said that so shocked. Like that's a pretty, to me, that's a pretty equal fight. I give it to Judas Priest. It's not like I said like Disturbed or something. And M's like just like, yeah, all right, fair, fair. And who's better, Judas Priest or Metallica?
Judas Priest.
Judas Priest or Slayer?
Ooh. Slayer.
Wrong answer. Slayer's awesome. Judas Priest is way better. Anyways, so Judas Priest is putting out a greatest hits record. It's called The Best of Judas Priest. Very, 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 was what I'm looking for. Unique name.
Yes.
The cover's got, I guess, would you say this is a comic book style, or really, I would say it's a video game style illustration. How would you describe this cover, M?
It looks very AI.
Yeah, it doesn't feel very priesty to me. Like what's frustrating to me is Judas Priest arguably has the best album covers out of any metal band ever. Hellbent for Leather, British Steel, Sad Wings of Destiny, Stained Glass, Screaming for Vengeance, Defenders of the Faith, Painkiller, amazing covers. And this album cover is like, if you describe the album cover to someone that hadn't seen them and said, okay, now make one similar. You know, like it's, it almost looks like it's got like all that like Photoshop effects to it. So it looks almost like a fat records release or something. And plus, actually, perhaps the worst crime on the cover end is the Judas Priest logo kind of like bleeds into the image, and it's actually kind of hard to see the word Judas Priest. You know, they should have made it like yellow or red or something. Anyways,
It's a
the
weird cover.
it is a weird, it honestly, it looks, what it looks like is, and you know what, you see like these bootleg records, they call them like the radio broadcasts, and it's like a shitty like
Oh.
radio broadcast from like 1973 or something like that. Like it looks like
Yes.
one of these kind of like shitty bootlegs, you know. The track listing is, it's well, what it does have, it has material from the entire Judas Priest discography, because relatively recently they were able to get back the rights to their first two records, Rock and Roll and Sad Wings of Destiny. On the previous greatest hits albums, they usually had live versions of those songs because they didn't own those songs. But they also kind of have added like new songs, Crown of Horns, which is like a brand new song. Let me see what else here. Actually, maybe just one new song. That's it. So I guess I'm not as weirded out by this. So anyways, so I guess it's just one really new song. Oh, and Lightning Strike. So the question is do we need a new Judas Priest greatest hits album? Well, there's already two well-known Judas Priest greatest hits, Living After Midnight. The flaw of that is Breaking the Law is a live version, not the studio version, which is weird. And then Metalworks, which is kind of the definitive Judas Priest greatest hits. But that, at this point, that came out 40 years ago. So I guess you could say the band is due for a updated greatest hits, or at least a new greatest hits, just to get people back into Judas Priest or whatever, which I think is good. I think the track listing here is real weird, Em. I think they should have either done just the hits, or they should have done it chronologically. What do you think? I feel this track listing is weird, and I feel like it's like listening to it's going to be kind of a bumpy ride because the band has progressed a great deal since 1970. So they've been a band for 56 years, which is crazy. But like the way these songs are organized, they're like all over the map, and I feel it's a very bumpy ride, greatest hits wise. And what do you think of the cover? What do you think of the track list? Is it time for is it a good time for a Judas Priest greatest hits live album? I mean, greatest hits record.
I don't like the album cover at all. It doesn't feel like it fits them, and it does look the main little character there does look quite AI generated, like
Yeah.
especially in the feathers at the back. And I agree with you with the logo. It does really bleed into the background. If it had another color to it, I think it would look really cool. The version of it that is coming out of the record there that has the red and black, that looks pretty neat. But I don't know what the full image of that is. As for the track listing, weird choices for the sequence. It feels like something that's not meant to be listened to in order. It feels like something that's meant to be shuffled or something like that. I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. As to the release of the new greatest hits, how many greatest hits records do they have? Do you know?
Well, all of Greatest Hits records authorized by the band, just two. Living After Midnight, which is a CD Greatest Hits from like 2001, and Metalworks, which is kind of the definitive Greatest Hits after Halford left the band or just before left the band in 1990.
Okay, and let's see here.
Actually, no, I lied. Actually, you know, now that I think about it, there's a record called The Chosen Few, which is sort of like a
Okay.
greatest hits, but that got like a kind of limited. It's like the band picking songs they like from their own catalog. So it's not really greatest hits, but it basically is. It's like greatest hits, but some not hits. It's just an unusual release, really. So there's Chosen Few. Then there's Metalology, but that's a box set. There's a four CD box set. Then there's the Essential Judas Priest from 2006, which is one of these like Walmart or Target like three CD greatest hits, you know.
Okay.
But that didn't get a really big release. Oh, and then there's Single Cuts, which wow, there's a lot more than I there's Single Cuts, which is a collection of their singles. Well, actually, but that wasn't released on that doesn't count. So really, there's. So there's two main ones. There's Metalworks from 1993 and Living
Okay.
After Midnight from 1997, only 4 years apart. Then there's The Chosen Few, which is like that weird sort of greatest hits kind of record. And then there's the Essential Judas Priest, which is like the budget Target or Walmart greatest hits that you would get for like $9.95 at Walmart.
Okay. I think. Yeah, I think there's been enough time where a greatest hits record makes sense. There's definitely different songs than the previous ones. There's definitely a lot of overlap, but there's definitely some other ones too. So. Yeah, I'd say it's time. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's time for a good greatest hits release, but I think this is just the cover is so weird and so bad, and the track list is almost like if you put the band's songs on index cards and threw them up in the air and then picked them up, that's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's weird. I think it feels rushed or not really curated well, but whatever. I mean, it'll come out and go out, and that's that. Like, this is not going to change anybody's world, really. However, Em, did John buy the limited edition red vinyl version?
Yes.
Did John buy the super limited edition Liquid Fuel version from some weird company in Belgium that licensed records for Liquid Fuel Records?
No.
I did. I bought two because I bought one for me and one to sell because those things always pop off in price. So playing my cards close to my chest. Here's another re-release. And Streetlight Manifesto, they're re-releasing a bu four records. Everything Goes Numb, The Hands That Thieve, Somewhere in Between, and 99 Songs of the Revolution Volume 1. Of course, Streetlight Records, not Streetlight Records, Streetlight Manifesto is famous for their massive, dirty, extended, and vicious fight with Victory Records, who really tried to destroy the band when the band tried to get out of a very unfortunate contract. Victory Record contracts were extremely oppressive. People kind of forgot about it now, but like Victory Record was famously just vicious with their contracts. And so finally, it looks like Streetlight Manifesto was getting those records back and they're releasing them. And of course, also famously, Streetlight Manifesto takes decades to put out records. And I don't really care about this band one way or another. I don't hate them. I don't like them. Doesn't really make a difference to me at all. I thought people would be thrilled that these records are back. I mean, and what do you think it costs? Everything Goes Numb, and before this reissue, what would it cost not to get an original, to get a reissue of this from Victory, or Victory Press reissue rather?
I'm gonna say something absolutely ridiculous. $100.
Higher.
Seriously? Okay,
Seriously.
200.
Higher.
Shit, okay, 350.
$300 repress,
Ooh.
$300.
E
So I thought people would be jumping for joy for this end because obviously, if the records sell for that much, they are in demand. And people were just complaining about this end. How can we make the people happy? And I thought they'd be happy. Like the punk news readers love Streetlight Manifesto, they love a lot of Third Wave ska, Against All Authority, and those kinds of bands. They were mad, and they were mad that you can now get these records for $25 instead of $300. That seems bizarre to me, Em. It seems bizarre.
Yeah, I thought there'd be a lot more like, this is exciting, this is awesome. Because usually when like, we do posts like that where bands are releasing or re-releasing albums that they kind of got screwed over with and whatever, people are like very excited. There's like one, I think, comment that's very excited, and it's, as a fan of the band, a reader of punk news, and someone who followed the story Conflict, I appreciate this update. Cheers.
I'm going to read this one guy. Who the F cares? Why does this site cater to so many New England asshole singers? And Streetlight Manifesto is not from New England, I think. I think they're from like New Jersey. Let me look it up. Like, and do we cater to New England asshole singers? I have no idea what that person's talking about.
I don't believe so. I think we have a pretty varied thing. If we look at like the front page of Punk News now, we have like a very mixed bag of where people are from. We have folks from Vancouver, we have folks from the UK, we have Toronto, we have Durham, North Carolina. Like we have lots of different places represented every day. I don't
Well,
think we've
I
ever
actually
had a day that's been fully one place. Sorry.
I wasn't being serious. I just think it's astounding that like some people have like biases, or something, and they project that onto us. I remember for a while some guys like stop writing about the Svetlanas. John loves the Svetlanas. Svetlanas are John's favorite band. I don't even like the Svetlanas. It's like what?
Yeah.
Streetlight Manifesto from New Jersey, and so I have no idea what this
Oh.
person's talking about. So it's just funny how
Okay.
some people kind of just project what they think or what they want to be real. I don't know. Anyways, so I don't know. Em, do you like this band? I'm as neutral as it gets as a Streetlight Manifesto, as neutral as it gets.
I again have had very limited interaction with Streetlight Manifesto, so I don't really have an opinion because I think I've listened to maybe one song. One or two songs. It's good that they're getting their records back, though, and releasing them, as they want.
Well, I say anytime a band gets their records back and puts them in the hands for fans at a reasonable rate is a good day. So good for them. And tell us about Cootie Catcher.
Yeah, Cootie Catcher are a very cool indie rock punk band from I believe they're from Toronto. Let me just double check that. But yeah, so they just released their new album. Yeah, they are from Toronto. So they released their new album, Something We All Got, earlier this year. And now they've announced a pretty big tour for it. So they're gonna be going to North America and the UK. So the North American leg runs from June to July, and then the UK leg runs all in November. So that's very cool. I have not seen this band live yet, but I would really like to. I think they're doing some really fun stuff. Their album, Something We All Got, is very, very catchy and it's very cool. We talked about one of the videos for the album on punk or on the podcast a couple months ago now. I'm pretty sure it was for the Puzzle Pop music video, which is really neat. They have a lot of very cool, like very artsy videos too. So go check those out. But yeah, I'm excited to see them touring. It's always fun to see, or not fun, but it's always really nice to see bands touring. And kind of like against all odds sort of thing. So, I am on their side. I'm rooting for them, especially as a Canadian band going to the US because there's been so many visa delays with a lot of different bands and a lot of different things. So, hopefully everything works out. I think it will. I think this tour is going to get them a lot of new fans, and I think it's going to make a lot of the existing fans very happy. So, yeah. John, what do you think of Cootie Catcher? Have you checked out Something We All Got yet?
Yeah, how big is this band?
They're rel or let me just see. Let me double check the thing before I talk. They formed in 2021 and they're like relatively like people know about them, people like them. They're still, I would say, classified as sort of like an indie band, like a kind of hidden gem. Let me just see though, because do. Oh yeah, so like on you can't really judge anything by followers on Instagram, but they have 6,214 followers on Instagram.
I wonder how accurate, like we use that metric a lot, and I think it's a good metric, but I wonder how accurate that metric is, you know. Like let's look
Probably
at
not.
Rosenstock. Let's see how big Rosenstock is, you know. Let's see here. And of course, certain types of bands are going to be more. See, Rosenstock's 100,000 on Instagram. Let's do Bouncing Souls. Bouncing Souls are, let's see here. Oh, maybe Bouncing Souls don't have an Instagram. Oh, here it is. Yes. Bouncing Souls have 111,000. Okay, I think Rosenstock might be a little bit bigger than Bouncing Souls, but that kind of makes sense. You know what I mean? That seems relatively sensible to me, you know. Have Large Jane
Yeah.
Grace. Let's compare Large Jane Grace. Now, see, I bet Large Jane Grace's Instagram would be bigger. Like Large Jane Grace's, like let's say Large Jane Grace had 100 fans. And Bouncing Souls had 100 fans. I would say Large Jane Grace's Instagram would still have more followers. You know what I'm saying?
I think so.
So Large Jane Grace has 200,000 fans. So, but I think Rosenstock's bigger than Large Jane Grace.
Would you
Because
say so?
Rosenstock would play Union Transfer in Philadelphia, which is about 3,000 people, where Large Jane Grace plays Underground Arch, which is about 600 people.
True.
So, anyways, I don't know where I'm going with this. Anyways, we will see what happens with Cootie Catcher. The last story of the evening, unless Em got something else to add. Bit of surprise. Mischief Brew one of the greatest bands of all time, is re-releasing their This Is Not for Children album, which came out on Alternative Tentacles just about 10 years, actually 10 years ago. It's their third and final album. And Mischief Brew reissues are extremely rare, extremely rare. Smash the Windows was only reissued once. And I think Stone Operation was only reissued like the year after it came out. And since then, not at all. So, and actually, Em, until this past week or so, what do you think This Is Not for Children would sell used online?
Ooh, $500.
200 to 300 bucks or more, you know. So that's cool. This
Ooh,
is getting a
yeah.
reissue. This record is probably their most unusual record in that it's the least folk punky of the three main ones, and I don't mean that good or bad, but it's almost like I remember the band was listening to New Model Army a lot when they recorded this record, and that kind of mid-80s punk slash post-punk definitely filters through into this release. It's a great record. All the Mischief Brew records are cool. I'm glad this is getting a reissue, and I'm excited about that. And I definitely ordered one for myself for sure. So yeah, I'm excited for this. I don't know. And do you know anything about Mischief Brew? Or are you a Mischief Brew novice?
I have listened to this album and I liked it. And I listened to a little bit of another one. Let me see if I can pull her up here.
Probably the Smash the Windows or Stone Operation.
It was. Whoops, why is it not working here? I believe it was the Stone Operation. Let me just.
That
See,
Stone
oh
Operation is
yeah,
my favorite one.
yes, that is the one. So I do enjoy Mischief Brew, and I think this is pretty cool. It's the vinyl is very pretty, and it's nice to see them doing represses.
Mischief Brew is an amazing band. The way to check, if you haven't checked them out, just do it chronologically. First, go to Smash the Windows. Second, Stone Operation. Third, This Is Not for Children. Very cool records, all three. So I'm glad to see this back in print. And you should probably get one if you want one, because it's probably gonna go out of print again, and that'll be that probably. So, anyways, so yeah, that's that, man. R.I.P. Eric Peterson, Mischief Brew, awesome band. And anything else you want to talk about? Anything else you want to cover on tonight's show? Anything else you want the people to know about?
Let me see.
And what's your goal for 20 for year 27? What fun thing are you going to do this year, Em? And what meaningful thing are you going to do this year?
Ooh, I like that. Fun thing is I'm going to Pooza Fest
That's
in
pretty good. That's pretty
May.
good.
So I'm very excited for that. It's been a bit, so looking forward to going and eating poutine and smoked meat and bagels and seeing hopefully lots of friends and seeing lots of great bands and just hanging out and having a good time and relaxing maybe a little bit. One meaningful thing that I would like to do. Because it's like shown up so often, like I keep getting ads for this and like seeing commercials and whatever for Canadian Blood Services. I think one meaningful thing I need to look into a little bit more would be to give blood, because I'm pretty sure I'm eligible. I just need to double check
Blood.
that. Little
Well, there you
saying.
have it. Em is given blood. Blood.
Blade. Gallons and
Blood.
stuff.
Well, okay. Well, then otherwise, I guess, Em, when are we going to see the listeners again?
We are gonna see them next week.